welcome everyone as we take leave of Pesach, counting Sfiras HaOmer. We prepare at the same time for Shabbos Parshas Kedoshim. I'd like to mention a few different topics in Parshas Kedoshim, but I'd like to start with the one with which the Parsha begins. The pasuk begins, the parsha rather begins by telling us to be kadosh, be holy. Rashi, rather famously, defines holiness as havu perushim min ha'arayos, as somebody who is able to separate himself from arayos, from averus that have to do with erva and that type of an avera. Now, at first glance, that seems strange, because normally we would think of holiness as coming from something a person does in a positive way, an action that a person does, things people do actively bring on Kedusha. Separating oneself from something negative, while it must show that someone's a tzaddik, is not usually thought of as something which adds Kedusha, which adds to the level of the person. Rav Schwab, here in the beginning of the parsha, explains in a rather nice way the idea that we say Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivonu al ha'arayos. The Messiah Kedushin Bracha begins with the words HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher Kedishanu, who made us holy b'mitzvaysa through his mitzvahs v'tzivonu al ha'arayos, and he commanded us to separate from an erva, to separate from arayos. Now that's an unusual bracha. We never make a bracha on something which is a mitzvah that is accomplished passively, that is done by staying away from something, that is done primarily by machshava, by somebody separating himself from machshava, from things you're not supposed to think about. Yet here, we find by tzivanu al ha'arayos, we do find precisely such a bracha. Now Rav Schwab writes a chiddush. He says, "May ha'hechrich leimer." From here, we are forced to conclude shekavishas yetzahore da'arayos chashuva kamaisa, that a person who is able to stop, to prevent the yetzahore from overtaking him in these areas, chashuva kamaisa, what he is doing has the chashivos of an act of a maisa. It's more than just not eating treifas, not putting on shabbos. Since this is a yetzahore with which a person is constantly bombarded, a person is influenced from all around to try to go give into his taivos, somebody who's the kayim, the kadishas yetzahara, somebody who is able to restrain himself from looking at things he's not supposed to look at, touching things he's not supposed to touch, such a person, chashuva kamaisa, what he does is like an act. It's something which brings kedusha. He brings from our shashal fo hirsh, who makes the point as follows. In the first Luchais, the tenth of the Aseret HaDibros begins with Loisach Maid, which means not to covet something which is not yours. In Luchais Shniais, the language changes to Loisach Saved, do not desire, which is close in meaning, but a different word. The Rambam explains that Loisach Maid, do not covet, implies somebody who does something to get the thing which he wants, and applies a Maisa. Rishon Shlomo Hirsch makes the point that in the second Luchais, when the switch from Leisach Moed to Leisach Ave is made, it's made in regard to desiring another person's items, another person's field. When it comes to Eishes Re'acha, even in the second Dibris, it says Leisach Moed Eishes Re'acha. Again, it uses the Lashon of Chemda, again, which is a language that shows Maisa. The point being that somebody who is able to restrain himself in these areas is considered to have done a Maisa, a Dover Chashuv. The Stipler, in his letters to Dr. Greenwald on how to coach men who are having difficulties with the Averis of Leisasur Achreim Efem, those Averis which are related to the Havi Prushim and Harayas, the Stipler's advice is to teach people that when they are able to restrain themselves from doing something, it's like a positive action. If someone wants to learn, when he's successful in learning, he feels a geschmack, and that motivates him further. When somebody wants to avoid temptation, when he avoids temptation, he doesn't get a geschmack. He feels like he did what was normal. And when he gives into temptation, he feels dirty. He feels like he did something wrong. The Stipler advises to understand that when a person is pireish min harayis, when someone separates himself from things he's not supposed to do, when someone is at a computer screen and he clicks away rather than towards something that he should not be seeing, such a person is kedushim to you, havi prush min harayis. A person should see it as an accomplishment, and that would give a person chizuk to be able to continue and to be more successful in this particular battle. Now let's move on. Still here before Sheni, in the part that we learned today, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we find commandments that are related to financial areas, not to steal. And the language of the Chumash is, L'Shashayk Esrei Acha, V'Lois Exile. Says, you shall not cheat your friend, V'Lois Exile, and you should not steal. What is the difference between Oishek and Gezel? So the Rambam in Hilchos Gezeilah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, writes, Ezel Eshek, Ezel Gezel. So the Rambam there writes the following. He says, Gezel is when something comes to your hands in a prohibited way. You aren't allowed to take it into your hand. That's Gezeilah or Gedeva. Leis HaShoik, do not cheat, is when something comes into your hand, Beheter. You're allowed to take it into your hand. However, when the person comes to claim that which he has, which he may have given you as a loan, or may have given it to you to watch for him or to cotton, if a person doesn't give it back, that's loisar shaik. It's a form of stealing, but it's a form of stealing where there was no maisa gedeva, where there was no act of taking it improperly. Rather, it came to the hands kedin, and then the person didn't give it back. So this is how the Rambam defined loisar shaik as opposed to lois exile. The Snipler in the Kibbutz Yaakov in Sanhedrin, Simin Yud Aleph, is a kasha. All over Shas, we have an expression, Priyas Bal Chayv Mitzvah. Paying money to someone from whom you borrowed, mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to pay back. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, if someone says, I don't want to do a mitzvah, what's the din? So, can we force him, is the Shaila in the Gemara. At any rate, the point is that the Gemara calls Priyas Bachai Mitzvah. The Gemara talks as if it's a mitzvah, chiddush. It's a mitzvah to pay back someone from whom you borrow. In fact, the Stipler, what do you mean Priyas Bachai Mitzvah? It's a law in the Torah, Lai Sashayk. The Gemara questions if we compel someone to pay back a chayv. But Lai Sashayk, we always claim on the Lai Sashayk. So the Lai Sashayk, being not paying back a chayv, a Priyas Bachai Mitzvah, seem to be contradictory terms, ideas for exactly the same thing. This is the Stipler's kasha. I would like to suggest a very simple teretz, and I don't know why the Stipler doesn't say this. The language of the Rambam on Leis HaShoik is when you borrow from someone or take a pekudin from someone, and he comes to you and asks for it back, and you don't give it to him. That's what the Rambam calls Leis HaShoik. That the Chayu Beleich V'Shoik, he comes, he wants it back, you say, come back later. That's a Lois HaSeik, Lois HaSeik. It has nothing to do with the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Priyas Bal Chayv Mitzvah. The Gemara is saying paying back someone from whom you borrowed is a mitzvah. That means even if he doesn't come and say, give me my money back, he doesn't demand payment. Someone who doesn't demand payment, Priyas Bal Chayv, is still a mitzvah. That is a mitzvah to give, even if he doesn't ask for it back. It's very meduyik, because by Lai Sashayk, it's even if you got it as a loan, or if you got it as a pekudin, someone gave something to you to watch, if you don't return it when he asks for it, you have a Lai Sashayk. However, when it comes to Priyas Bal Chayv Mitzvah, it's only by Priyas Bal Chayv Mitzvah. If someone lent you money, it's a mitzvah to go search for him and pay him, as opposed to a pekudin. In the case of a pekudin, a person does not have a mitzvah to give it back until such time as the person who gave it to him comes to get it from him. Let's move on to one more part of the parasha. We have also in the beginning of the parasha, Ish imay va'aviv tiro, ves shapsoisai tishmayru. So Rashi brings on Ish imay va'aviv tiro, the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara there says, why does it say Ish imay va'aviv tiro? Is it only Ish? Is it only a male and not a female? Ella answers Rashi. Ish sipek biyadei la'asais. Isha is lo sipek biyadei la'asais. A man has the ability to be mekayim kibud av'eim more. He's out of the house much. obligations are more centered on the home. And in addition, who tends to be in the city where her husband is, does not have the opportunity to be mechabed of the imai as much as a man. So the pasuk talks in the usual term, usually ish imai of his tiro. In fact, though, everybody is obligated equally. That's what the Gemara says, and Rashi brings it. The Sefer HaMakna is an extraordinary kasha, gavaldig kasha. He says there are two parts to honoring parents, kibud avayim and yira, and fearing avayim. And the Gemara explains, ezel kibud, what is honoring? Honoring is to stand up when he walks in. Machileyu, mashkei, I'm sorry, it's not to stand up when he walks in. Ezel kibud, to give him to eat, to give him to drink. To Maitziyahu Maitziyahu, to provide transportation to him. Malbishai, to help him get dressed. That's all included in Kibbut Aveim. They're all acts. Ezel Yira. What is Yira? So the Gemara says, Yira is Eina Yashiv B'Makaymai. You don't sit in a parent's seat. Eina Medaber Lefanav. You don't speak where it's his opportunity to speak. You don't contradict him. You don't call him by his first name. These are all Yira. The parts of Kibbut Aveim that are actually Yira are things that are done b'shev al-tasa, that are done passively. Frek Teseka Sefer HaMakna Ishimai Va'aviv Tirohu. It's talking about Yira. Ishimai Va'aviv Tirohu. Something that's done passively, a man and a woman are equal in their ability to do that. It's not something that's more available to a man. Kibbut, I understand. To go there and feed the parent, a man has it more generally. Has it more available? He's out of the house more. He has the time available to go and do it. On the other hand, a woman doesn't. But this person is talking about Yira. Ishimai Bavish Tirohu. Yira, which is not to sit in the seat, not to contradict him, not to call him by his first name. A woman is equal to a man in ability to do that mitzvah. Kavalig Akash. Now, Makna answers that from here we are forced to conclude that part of Yira is to do what you're told by a parent. If a parent says do something, the child should do it. Not doing it is the same as contradicting his words. Just as one is not allowed to contradict a parent's words passively, the same thing, when a parent says do something, by not doing it, that's contradicting his words. And therefore, if a parent commands you to do something, there's a mitzvah to do it. Since that involves action, so then we understand, ish sitek biyadei la'aseis, a man has the time to do it, he has the ability to do it, and a woman doesn't always have that time available. This is the shita of the HaMakna. Rav Maisha, the Divrei Maisha on Kiddushin, is matmi on the HaMakna. He says, is he adding to the Chumash, to the Gemara? The Gemara says, ezel kavaj, ezel yira. It says there, ezel yira, what is included in yira? Only things that are accomplished through non-action, through doing it in a passive way. And this Chiddush of HaMakna, Rav Maisha rejects. As far as his kasha, the kasha on the Chumash, Rav Maisha says that it's a style to darshan the Chumash. If you can't darshan ish for the mitzvah of yira saveim, so we switch it and we apply it to kibbut aveim. Rav Maisha's teres, admittedly, is not so satisfying. However, we have found that the sefer yireim, he asks the kasha and says exactly the teres Rav Maisha says, and that's a rishon. So this is a topic regarding which we have a machlokes da HaMakna and Rav Maisha. If a parent says do something, it has nothing to do with the parent's own eating, drinking, or transportation. Whether a child is obligated to listen, the HaMakna says yes, Rav Maisha says no. I refer you to the Atara Lamelech, Rav Palm Sefer, where he has a Shtichul Torah on this topic. And so these are my three ideas for today. The part on Kedoshim Tiyu, Alay Sashaik, and on Ishimai Vavis Tiro, all in the beginning of the parasha. I'm going to leave you with a kasha difficulty I had, which has to do with two psukim in the parasha. We have, in the beginning of the parasha, Pasuk Tes, Laisachala Pasadcha, the mitzvah of Peah in the field. Later, still in Parak Yates, but in Pasuk Chavav, we have Laisashchis Aspras Zikonecha. We have the mitzvah, actually two mitzvahs. One, not to cut the Peah Sarayish, and the other not to cut the peyos of the beard. The kasha is this. The word used in both cases is the word peas. Leisachalat peas sotcha. And again, leisashis es peas zikonecha, leisakifu peas reishka. Why is it? Now, when it comes to the peyos of the head, we say there's a mitzvah to leave the peyos on both sides. When it comes to the peyos of the beard, a mitzvah to leave it in five spots. Now, when it comes to a field, we assume leischala pasa decha means to leave one corner of the field, and that one corner is adequate. It shouldn't be that way. Tzarechi and Gavul. Why does the same word pas give us a translation of one corner in the beginning of the parasha? And by leisakif pas reishchem, leisashis pasikonecha, we say it means multiple peyos. Tzarechi and Gavul are good in Shabbos to one of them.